So last week we looked at the relationship between the faith that we have in God in our everyday life, when he's warning and threatening us in the impossible things, and even if no one else follows us, that led into the fear of the Lord, which is running to God instead of running away from him. And I want to build on that a little bit this evening and keep on going with the accountability over lording thing, because we've had a couple of weeks break. But Peter, he segued it so beautifully this evening in the sense of, yeah, we're accountable to the Lord first. If this is right, then things kind of become right. And so over the last while, I've been battling a little bit with just myself. And I thought I was going through a midlife crisis again. And like, I've just been struggling to find momentum and like struggling leading the congregation a little bit and struggling just on a lot of things. And in worship, it was so cool. It was like I was calling out to the name above every name as we were singing. And I think we have been struggling. I'm not actually having a midlife crisis, which is amazing. Like, there's a revelation to me. I think I'm just struggling with settling back into leading a congregation and making new friends and coming to terms with there's a whole bunch of people that I hadn't known like a couple months back, and now we're family. And finding confidence in leading again, and finding confidence in preaching every week again, and finding God's voice every day for myself. And so it was just this life-giving moment that I have hope again, that I'm not going crazy, first of all.
Come on.
And so I just wanted to say that out front, I have been a bit sporadic, because I think what's happening is I'm trying to find the boundaries of where you guys are individually and as families, where we are as a congregation, the scope of how far we live away from each other, the history from first love, love, the heartbeat, to Brackenfell, to Pioneers PM, to, and so this is what just solidified in my heart when we were worshiping now, is back in the game. It's like, don't watch this movie, but one of my favorite movies is John Wick. And I think it's first, I think it's the third one. And like, everyone is asking me, am I back in? And yes, I'm back in. And so I love John Wick. Don't go watch it, because it's quite violent, but I like it. And what happened this week is, like, Abby and I have been talking a lot of things, because we've had a lot of hurt in churches. I've been in full-time ministry for 22, 23 years now. A lot of hurt, a lot of crazy things that have happened. A lot of good times, a lot of bad times, a lot of lean times, a lot of... And actually, when we were talking Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, actually, you know what? I'm not here for any person. Yeah. I'm not here for my name to be made great. Yeah. I'm here because when I was 5 years old, yeah, the Lord reached into my heart, and he saved me. And we were talking, and like, I'm here for him. Mm. And so next year is going to be fun. Like, it is. It's going to be fun. It's like, I've been working hard. Like, I felt the Lord say some stuff for next year already. We're putting it in. Like, men, hook up. Buckle in. You're either going to hate it or you're going to love it. But we're going to see some changes. We're going to see momentum coming. We're going to see hope come back. We're going to see God do stuff. Really. I'm not just saying that. Anyways. Hope fuss. Wives, your men are going to change next year. Watch. Yeah, for the better. If not for the worse. Oh, hell, Lord. Help us. And so, I'm full of hope again. And so I want to look at, when it comes to accountability, I want to look at the difference and the similarity of what the law is and what love is. Because I think law became love. And it's so important with accountability. So what's been happening in my heart is, God's been calibrating me. I didn't know until this moment, until I was standing over there tonight, is he's been calibrating me. Because law is boundaries. Law is safety. Law is, so like, I Googled a few weeks ago, is there any sport in the world that doesn't have any rules? And you know what Google came back with? Every sport has some form of a rule. And I thought, that's interesting. So rules are not bad, or laws are not bad. They actually are there so that we can have fun. How much funner is it? Is like we were playing Jenga last night. Funner, like Junior and I were playing Jenga. We threw the dice, the number, the little color came up, and then you have to take the block of that color. So if you cheat, it's not as fun because you're breaking the law of that game. And it's like if you cheat, anyone can cheat. Not anyone can get that flipping green thing out of the middle there, right at the end. And so the law of God actually reveals how perfect God's nature is to us and how much we need him because we're not like he is. And so when he came and he gave the Ten Commandments, what he was going, he was saying, world, he was saying, these are my boundaries. These are my perimeters. These are my safe places. If you stay within my boundaries, my commands, you are going to flourish and have life, and the world will know who I am because you're living according to those boundaries. But what happened is people just started keep on adding on boundary upon boundary, and eventually there's like 608 different laws that no one could hold to. And it became an awkward moment. Romans 3:20 says this, therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Through the law, we become conscious of our sin. In other words, God's law is boundaries. If we didn't have the law, we wouldn't know we're sinning. If we didn't know we're sinning, we wouldn't be able to submit our hearts back to God, who doesn't want us to sin. How cool is that? So the law is not this thing that constricts. And when we talk about accountability versus policing, just because we're saying, hey, we don't want to police you, doesn't mean the laws fall away. Doesn't mean that we're just all free fall. We once played paintball many years ago, and the build-up, we're a men's group, and the build-up to the thing where the guys got out of hand, especially this one guy. Still remember his name, but I won't mention him because I don't know if he listens to the preaching, but the whole week build-up, he was antagonizing. And right at the end of the game, we all finished, and then the marshal said, now it's time for zombie. And what that means is when you're paintballing, a zombie is everyone for themselves. Who's ever zombied? And the three of us. United, we all turned to this, and we just emptied. It was actually evil. Like, looking back, I was like, please, Lord, it's like, forgive me. We just went zombie. It was just no rules, we almost never came back to church. We actually had to do damage control. That's how bad it was. So when we talk about we don't want to lord over you, we're not saying there's no rules. There should be rules. That was very dangerous. We could have really hurt that guy. We did really hurt that guy, but we could have really hurt that guy. Because boundaries and laws point to how amazing God is and how much we need him every day. Does it make sense? It's like, think about football. Who watches football here? What if there's an offside and they get a goal? Are you angry? Or are you like, whoa, they were offside, they got a goal. Who's angry when there's like offside? I was in Brazil. I watched football in Brazil. And so we're in Brazil with my friends, and we're having a good time, and then we're not having a good time. Because the team just that we were supporting all of a sudden started sucking badly. And the Oaks are like, we've got to get out of here. These Oaks are going to riot. And it was quite scary. Because they were breaking the laws. And literally, the riot police came on and surrounded the referees and then marched them off. It was crazy. It was like, it's wild. It was wild. So think about church. Think about your family. There's rules in my home. There's rules. Anyone looks at my wife, they're going downtown. No one's going to chat up Abby. There's a rule. Is it making sense? It's like living with the law is a very different thing to living under the law as well. So if you live with the law, if you live with God and you're accountable to him, things are going to go well. You're going to be within those boundaries, right? You're going to see his favor. You're going to be like, hey, I have right standing with God. I'm not going to get chained up by debts and by my own heart. No, there's going to be freedom. We can approach the Lord with confidence because we're in his plan. We're in his purpose. We know that we're cool with him. As soon as you're under the law, like you're driving home now and you forget to get your license just done, because you just forget. And then the cops pull you over and then you get fined. That's living under the law. It's like, I know I should have got it, but I didn't, and I got busy, and then, does it make sense? It's like, so God wants us to live with the law, not under the law. Because the law of old was a guardian for us until Christ came. What do you mean by that? Galatians 3:22. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. And so the law's purpose was just to guide us, until Jesus came to die, to be raised again, to bring in a new law, and that law is love. Thank you. Thank you, babes. Back in the game. Back in the game. Think about that. When they were trying to trick Jesus, and they were like, hey, what's the greatest commandment? What they're saying is, what is the greatest law? Because he was breaking the Sabbath, and he was turning over tables, and he was hanging out with prostitutes and tax collectors and all the people that no one else wanted to. And then they're trying to trick him, and they said, like, you're not living by the law. They want him to live under the law, and Jesus didn't come to live under the law. He came to fulfill the law. He came to surpass the law. The law was just a shadow of what Jesus wanted to do when he came to earth. And so his answer, and we know this, Mark 12, 30, 31. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And secondly, equal important, is love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment, no other law, that's what he's saying, is greater than these. He doesn't want us to jump through hoops, God. He doesn't want us to act religious. He doesn't want us to look like something on the outside, but inside we are a mess. He wants us to love him. That's accountability. It's loving him with everything we have, heart, mind, soul, strength, everything, finances, family, job, everything. The greatest command is to love him. The greatest law. Think about that. Like, what kind of a law is that? Isn't it freeing? It's like, we don't have to wear head coverings anymore. We don't have to do these weird things, wear tassels, growing beards is fun. You know, like, imagine me with my tassels and my like. We don't have to do any of that stuff because Jesus came to fulfill that. The law is now written on our hearts, not on tablets. Through love. Sometimes this is an iPad, not a tablet. No, I'm just kidding. I knew someone would have a problem with that. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. We know this, but I just want to, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. Interesting. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. See, God, like, the law is beautiful. The law is a guideline. The law is, it just brings freedom. It brings fun. It brings joy. It brings hope. It brings a longing for the future. It's just so beautiful. I carry on. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but not have love, I gain nothing. And so, the role of the law was to lead us to love God first. And the second is to love each other. And I think partly what I've been struggling with this year for me is, it's very hard to love someone that you don't know. It's saying to me, relax, your stress level is unusually high. Relax, breathe. I'm gonna take it off. I'm not gonna listen to you. How dare you chew me like that? You flipping. How dare you? It's my heart going through the roof because maybe I am in midlife crisis. No, I'm just kidding. But it's so hard to start loving people you don't know. And desperately, I love every single one of you. Like, and I'm fighting for you and I'm praying for you daily. I pray for the deacons this week. Pray for the concrete leaders. I prayed for some other people that God just brought to mind. Really, just I want to love you as Christ loves you. I do. It's so hard. Because sometimes I'm just a guy. And I have favorites, I'm sorry. But I'm trying to not have favorites. I know. Amen. Amen. We'll go with that. Okay, so how do we stay? So this is, I'm going to start landing in a couple of minutes. But how do we stay within the confines of this law that isn't constrictive, but life-giving? How do we hear God's voice? How do we love each other? How do we love Him? What keeps us on the straight and narrow? What keeps us joyful, hopeful, full of life? What keeps us going year after year, month after month, day after month? What keeps us fighting for our families? What keeps us fighting for the Word of God living in us every day, for the Holy Spirit to work through us? What? And I was like, I don't know, God. And then He dropped something. We were actually talking on the phone. He dropped something on me. So I brought this watch. It's not my favorite watch. This is the watch I use when I trail run or when I do CrossFit or whatever I do. And it's telling me I'm too stressed, yeah. The cool thing about this watch is it's a GPS watch. And GPS is global positioning systems were developed with the military in the US to try pinpoint where everybody, the troops were, so that they wouldn't kill each other by friendly fire, basically. I hope that's true. I'm just coming off the top of my head, but I think it's true. Makes sense. Now I think about it, I'm just being honest. And so then they decided to, like, and then they could get from one A to B, and it kind of came into civilian lifestyle. And so I can use this to map out where I want to run and how far it is, and it gives me my altitude and it gives me my heart rate and it gives me all those things. But in order for this thing to be effective, it has to have at least 3 satellites that are pinging me at the same time. Boom, boom, all the time. If one drops off, you don't have an accurate reading, right? And so I thought, how awesome is that thing? That when I can run, I can get my heart rate, I can see how far I've run, I can see how many kilometers I've done up or down or meters or how my cadence is, because there are 3 satellites following me around and they could change, but they hand over to each other. It's a beautiful thing. And it's bringing it to the device that I can put into my phone that I can map the confines of where I'm running and what I want to do. And I thought, it's the same in our spiritual walk with God. And so what are the 3 satellites that keep us playing well this life that God has given us? Well, the first satellite is God's Word. The only tangible thing we have on earth that God is real and He exists and He loves us and He wants the best for us is God's Word. But this is the thing about God's Word. We can misinterpret God's Word. So it's the first satellite. We need to read God's Word as God intended us to read it. And there's a lot of nonsense going around where people are taking God's Word and they're making it say what they want it to say. It's called eisegesis. I'll give you some theological terms just to make us feel like we're a little bit more clever than we are. Eisegesis basically is this. It's the interpretation of a text and reading it from one's own biased assumptions or with one's own agendas rather than drawing out the text's original meaning. And so there's this thing called progressive Christianity. They're doing this very well at the moment and they're winning a lot of people's hearts around the world. It's a really bad thing. They are reading the text in how they want the text to read and they are leading people astray. And they're not actually getting to the meaning of what God really said. And so when you start doing that, you just start going down your own. Do you know that on Thursday this year, this week, this is the first time I've ever done it in my whole life. I've been through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation 3 times this year. From Genesis to Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation, 3 times this year. On Thursday, I finished my 3rd rotation in my quiet times. I'm not saying that to you that you think I'm cool. I'm saying that because if I don't know the Word for what the Word says, and often I'll start a preach because I have an idea, drops into my mind. I'm like, man, that's a cool idea. That must be the Holy Spirit. And so I start prepping a preach, And halfway through, I'm thinking, Flip, this is not what the text is saying. This is what I wanted to say. And then I have to backtrack and go like, oh man, I've actually missed this. And normally my preachers start off with my idea and then it ends up with God's idea and it totally looks different. And so this first satellite is we need to know that when we are leaning on the Word of God, that is living and active and useful to keep us in these bounds of love, we need to know this one thing, that you have to read it correctly. And that means time. It means wrestling something. So Lane said something at home group on Wednesday, and you were kind of right, but you were kind of... So he mentioned a scripture that God had spoken to him about, and I think his outcome was right, but there's so much meaning that in the book of Revelation, he was talking about not being lukewarm. And it was amazing, and he doesn't... But the context of that was, in that city, around that city, there were two rivers. There was a river that was hot springs, that ran on the one side, and the other side was cold. And so those two rivers served two different purposes. The heat was for healing and bathing and all of those things. The cold was refreshing and you can drink it, and when it was hot, you could go. And so we interpret that scripture as we either have to be hot or we have to be cold. That's not what the Word of God is saying there. It's saying either be one, be refreshing or be, or be therapeutic, or just like heat, like when you're in a sauna, it changes your body. But when those two rivers eventually join, they're useless because it's not cold anymore for refreshment and it's not hot for, it becomes useless. And so he was kind of right, but because he didn't dig a little deeper, he like just missed some of the nuances that could have given him even... So I'm sorry, I'm not meaning you're awesome. You're a great guy, and I think you landed there well. But that's like The Chosen. I'm going to... Maybe if you like The Chosen, you're not going to like me after this. The Chosen are underrated by the Mormons. Mormons and Christianity are not the same thing. And so my worry for us is if we're watching The Chosen, and it's so sad because it's so close to the truth... It's not the gospel. It's not the scripture. It has been bought by a secular cult, basically. And it's packaged as Christian, and it's not. And so I can't tell you what to watch in your home, but we don't watch it. It's just that it's just so subtle because I'm going to end with it because I'm running out of time. I might actually get through these three satellites now because I'm getting... Do you know that Satan, the devil, knows scripture probably better than you? Awkward. Do you know that he used scripture to try get Jesus to fall into temptation when Jesus was in the wilderness? And do you know that he quoted Psalm 91 twice, and he left out the most important part so that it would twist the scripture? And how did Jesus overcome it? It is written. You are not telling the truth, Satan. You left out that you are going to get crushed by me, by my heel, crushing your skull, because you're the serpent and I'm the savior. And so when it comes to staying in the boundaries of this amazing thing called law, you need to know your Bible more than you think you do. And that's going to take a lot of hard work and a lot of energy, but it's worth it. Because the Bible is life. Does it make sense? So if that satellite's going and you're like, hey, do I need to change jobs, or do I need to marry this person, or do I need to move here, or do I need to give my money, or whatever it is, in how God wants us to live, is the Word of God the first protocol for you to go to? And is it the real Word of God that you are listening to? And is there life? I was saying to Penny just before the service, because we were talking about how hard life is sometimes, and she encouraged me, which is amazing. Not only, but think about this. Does Christianity, and does being a person, does it have to be easy? If Jesus says narrow is the gate that leads to salvation and broad is the road that leads to destruction, maybe Christianity should be hard. Hard is not necessarily bad. When I woke up this morning, I didn't feel like working out, but I did. I did some burpees. I did some other stuff, and it was horrible. I wanted to vomit. I planked for longer than I should have. It wasn't very fun. And I was like, afterwards, I feel like, flip, I feel quite strong now. And then tomorrow, I can. It doesn't feel nice in the moment, but like afterwards, you're like, hey, I'm actually stronger than I was before. Well, think about it in the spiritual context. Maybe hard, spending time in the Word every day, fighting for truth. And all you need to do, if you don't know where to start, go buy a really good study Bible. ESV study Bible, okay, it's 1,000, whatever it is now. But it's got enough commentary there to get you deeper. It's got an intro, it's got things, got some guys that have done more work than we have. It'll get you a little bit deeper in understanding the scriptures for, because we don't want the devil to use scriptures against ourselves. Because he will. Amen. Are you enjoying this? It seems like it. Does it make sense? It's like, I'm not going to finish the satellites. I'm so sorry. I just went too. I'll tell you now. Stop it. And so, like again, like I've given my life to Jesus. Like I've done a degree in theology. Theology didn't get me closer to Jesus. It gave me knowledge and it puffed me up. It is when I spent time in the actual Word of God that I grew and I'm growing and I'm continually growing. Even this morning, I was like, God, I did not see that. I'm like, what is going on? Like, how have I missed that? Okay, so another challenge. Where's your Bible app on your phone in connection where Netflix is or TikTok or Instagram or Prime? What are the other ones? Disney Plus. Where on your screen? You know where mine is? Right in the middle of the screen. You can go look. I'm not lying. Because that, and I wanted to throw a challenge out maybe. How much time are you spending watching movies or TikToking or whatever it is? By God's grace, I've never done that. I don't have time for social media and it stresses me out. But because those things aren't going to give you life. They're not going to help you stay within the game that God has put for your life and stay in those boundaries of the law being love. You're going to fall in love with the world. You're going to fall in love with the things of the world. Do you know that I read a book a few years ago? I'm going to preach on this in the future, but it was called Hollywood World Views. And it was a producer director who got saved, and he wrote a book about how pretty much movies are an advert for a worldview that the directors and the producers want to portray to the world. Who's ever seen The Truman Show? Truman Show? Do you know that that is an anti-God worldview? Where a true man must be free of God. Go watch that movie again and watch it from that perspective. I'm going to start landing. Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, so the other two satellites, I'll just mention them and maybe we can continue to. It's just helpful. So, and I, please, my heart is like, I'm not trying to not be heavy. But like, I'm so passionate about this because it's, I want every single one of us, including myself and my own family, to be walking in the life of Jesus. Because the whole reason why we want to build this church and this congregation is that every single one of us becomes mature and attaining the fullness of Christ to works of service. And the only way that we're going to find our GPS in life is the worst satellite needs to be pinging us, and that needs to be the Word of God. The second satellite, and I'm not going to go into this, was the Holy Spirit. So maybe we can look at that next week. And then the third one is spirit-filled, fruitful people. And so if you have the Word of God, and if we have the right understanding of how the Spirit of God works through us that points back to the Word of God, and we have spirit-filled people, not people that think they're clever, think people that have the fruits of the Spirit living out of them, if those three satellites line up, we should be safe. Does it make sense? It's like, and so maybe maybe let me land on this. Exegesis, so we looked at eisegesis. Exegesis is the total opposite. Exegesis is the process where we carefully, objectively analyze the text to understand the intended meaning. The term literally means to be led into. And so when we look at the Bible in the way God intended it, what it does is it leads us into more of his life, more understanding. It leads us into fruitfulness. It's beautiful if you think about that, where eisegesis leads us into ourselves, and it leads us into pride, and it leads us into just moving further and further away from the truth. And then you look back and you go, what am I doing here? This has got no life on me. It's Brett's fault because he's not leading well, or whatever it looks like. Yeah. So, maybe this is what the Lord is asking us to do, and this totally went differently to what I thought it would be. Maybe he's asking us again to prioritize him through his word tonight. And maybe practically, if you're not spending time with the Lord, I'm not expecting you to spend hours and hours and hours in the Bible. It's just going to freak you out. But maybe if you're not, maybe tomorrow, because if you can do five, you can do 5 minutes of Bible. If you can't read, don't use that as an excuse. I can't really read that well, so I listen to it a lot. So don't make excuses. But just consecrate. We were speaking about that when we were prayer walking this afternoon. Maybe consecrate yourself again, which is a giving of yourself over to God's ways, to say, from this moment, the word of God is going to be a priority. I can't do that for you. You have to do that for you. Not because it's law, because you love him. Not because Brett's telling you to do it out of the preach, because then we've lost it. Then I've just wasted my time here. I've wasted your time. That's got nothing to do with me. It's because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word. Because he wants you to, because he knows that if we can get this right, whoo, there's going to be life, there's going to be joy, there's going to be hope, there's going to be fruit. The devil's going to get stamped on every day. And when things go get hard, I was so proud of Junior this week. He had a rough week. He did have a rough week. And he reached out, and then last night he said to me, Brett, I just chose. I think he said that, eh? I'm paraphrasing. I chose not to go back into where I was before. I chose to fail forward. I chose to, and they're praying together and they're doing a thing. I'm like, well done, bro. So don't make excuses. I can make excuses every day because I'm just a guy and I'm not that cool half the time. But choose today. If you don't have the Bible app, get the Bible app. If you like the proper Bible, get your Bible app. Dust it off. Start in the book of James. It'll freak you out. Why are you guys laughing? You know, bro. It will me. Start in the book of James. It's one of the most practical Christian living things that'll mess you up. You'll think you're not saved again, then get saved again. And you're right. I thank you. I'm right. But then GPS doesn't work. You have to be outside. You've got to get out there with the Lord. Okay, time is over. I'm probably getting a phone call this week. Cut it now. No, I'm just kidding. Can I pray for us? And then you pray for you when we... thank you, Lord, for this amazing congregation. Thank you for these amazing hearts that sit before me. Thank you that we're becoming family, and thank you for working in my life and getting me to the place where I think I'm finding myself not being insane anymore. Thank you that your word is a daily thing with me. I do love your word, God, because it's brought me life and it's helped me understand you. And it's pushed me away from the law and the religious stuff that people have put onto Christianity and what it should look like, Lord, because you transcend that. And I want to ask right now that your spirit will do only what your spirit can do. And that is give us a love for you, first of all. We're not yet a lord over people, but we are here to love you and love each other. So Lord, would you right now, by your spirit, in your graciousness, in your mercy, in your compassion, in your kindness, the word says your kindness leads us to repentance. That in your kindness right now, that if we haven't given ourselves to your word properly, that we'll consecrate ourselves again to you in this moment, to promise to you that we'll step into something new. So if that's you, where you're sitting right now, where your heads are bowed, where you're contemplating these things. You know, I've had people come to me through the years, and like the one lady in particular, she's like, hey, God has spoken to me. And I'm like, it's what she said to me was totally contradictory to what God said in his word. And I'm like, you haven't heard the God. You've heard yourself. And her life just went spiraling out, and she's not even following the Lord anymore. We don't want to be people like that. We want to be people that are living in the fullness of who he is, because his word is alive in us. It's that streams of living water that we sang about earlier, bubbling up wells of living water through his word alone. So would you just consecrate yourself to him again? If you're not doing this well, no condemnation. Please, that's not the heart of this thing. God, I want to step out. I want to, even if it's hard, I'm going to push through. I'm going to discipline. I'm going to have self-control. As Peter said in the beginning, I'm not going to get chained by the things of this world. Because even as Donnie read that scripture in the beginning, he's given us the fullness of who he is. And he can do it, even if we can't. Love you, Lord. Amazing King. So can I ask, who's like, hey man, I want to do better at that? Awesome. Can you look around? Can you pick someone to pray for? Like, hey, like just pick someone to say, I'm going to pray for that person so they can do this better this week. Awesome. And if you don't have anyone to speak to, sometimes it's just lack of, like, hey man, this is maybe why I've battled. Just help me. I'm telling you now, it's going to be amazing.